If you have your Bibles, thank you for your offerings. Thank you for your giving. And please, we've got some hats and t-shirts back in the back. And stop by our table and just see there's some things that we want you to pick up. But I want you to turn with me in 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. And it's going to be like a quick devotion, okay? Somebody say, yeah, that's right. 2 Kings chapter 7. I want to talk to you. Most of you will know this story. I'm going to eventually deal with the four lepers. How many? Raise your hand. The four lepers that went into the enemy's camp and didn't find anybody. They didn't find an army, but they found food and gold and silver. And that's what I'm going to call a divine surprise. Talk to us, Lord. Yeah. They walked into a divine surprise. But I've got to take a few minutes to get there. 2 Kings, if you catch your Bibles, and Sister Lindsay, maybe you can help me, especially later. Just follow me here. Be ready to go to chapter 6 as soon as I pray, and we'll get in here and preach. But I'm quickly going to read chapter 7, verse 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Now there's a famine going on. But as soon as Elisha made this prophecy, there's a man that did not believe in the prophecy. And there's going to be two more prophecies for him. The Bible says, "Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God, and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said," now this is the prophecy coming back to him. This man didn't believe it, but Elisha prophesied and said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." This man's going to get killed. He's going to see it, but he's going to get killed during the process. Don't have time to go into that. And then the Bible says, "And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they sold one, and they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore, come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die." They rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. What happened? Where did this army go? The Bible said the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots. I love it. In Acts chapter 2, there was a noise.
Yes.
Praise God. Noise from heaven. The Bible says they heard a noise of chariots, a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites, the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." God doesn't need any help. Man, if I preach 15 minutes, it's going to be a miracle. I've seen all these points. To come upon us. God doesn't need any help. They didn't hire anybody. God's taking care of the problem. "Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. When these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried then silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried things also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. If we tarry till morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." You can be seated. And they did that. They went to the gate, told the porter, They sent out men on horseback, and they found the army was gone. It wasn't an ambush. They didn't know why the army left, but then the next morning, the people of Israel here in Samaria, they went out and collected all this gold, silver, and food, and that man that said he didn't believe it, he got stomped to death. You can read the rest of the chapter, and that's what happened. But if the Lord will help me, and I believe in these few minutes, God can talk to us.
Yes.
I believe I've got something to say, folks.
Yes.
And I believe God's going to talk to us. It's 7:45, but I want to give us time, always, when I preach, I want to give us time to, if anybody wants to pray, so I'm going to do my best in the next few moments. Say amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us, God. Let your will be done. Anoint us. Help us to speak and say what needs to be said. My prayer is, God, you bless around these altars in just a few moments. Amen. Get ready with 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 24. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 24. First thing I want to do is show you the bigger picture of what's going on in chapter 7. Chapter 7, Elisha prophesies that there's going to be food for them the next day. The problem was there's a famine. The people are starving to death. That's the big part of this miracle. I'm going to show you the bigger picture why this miracle, what God did, was so great. Amen? And for me to say that, I want to tell everyone here, the worst place you could ever get in your life is hopelessness.
Yeah.
When you feel like there's no hope, that's why people kill themselves.
Right.
When you feel like there's no use to living, life has treated you bad, relationships, jobs, sickness, whatever, friendships, wrong decisions, mistakes. You feel like you never get on the right track. Hopelessness is a bad place to be. And I wonder if somebody here today, that's where you're at. You just feel like, I'm without hope. Depressed, discouraged. Oh, I need time to deal with this. Amen. But I see that in my travels, in America, in the world. So many people is at a place of hopelessness. We're throwing the towel, give up. Feel like life isn't worth living. It's sad. Amen. And getting to my scripture really quick, 2 Kings 6:24. I want to show you a picture of hopelessness on the city of Samaria. The Bible says, it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts, went up and besieged Samaria. This great army, greater than Samaria, this great king brought his whole army and surrounded. Besieged means surround. Okay, that's how desperate the city of Samaria was. They had this great army. They've got Samaria totally surrounded, and they're starving them to death. They know they can't get any food. They're just waiting, starving. There's a famine. And so you can see what Ben-Hadad is doing to the king of Syria, to Samaria. He's got the city surrounded. I wonder if somebody here, you feel surrounded by the enemy. I wonder right now, you feel like I have no escape, I have no hope. That's where they're at. Let me hurry. And then verse 25 says, and there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it. They waited on them. They're trying to starve them out. They besieged it until an ass's head, a donkey's head, was sold for 4 pieces of silver. Notice that. You'll notice later in this chapter, they killed almost all the animals. There's only a few horses for them to ride out and see what the camp was doing. And they're killing all these animals. And if you're rich, you can buy a donkey's head. But if you're not, you can't afford this. And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't want to eat a donkey's head. How about you? And you talk about going to Cambodia. Somebody talked about Cambodia. And when I was there, they deep fry spiders and cockroaches. And they eat that stuff, not me. Come on, I did. I ate a grasshopper just because they was putting pressure on me. And I guess if John the Baptist can eat locusts and wild honey, I can eat one grasshopper in my life.
Yeah.
Come on. But here they are. They besieged it until a donkey's head was sold. For 4 pieces of silver. And then the Bible says, it gets worse. And I'm going to show you how bad it gets. The fourth part, okay, you don't, you're not rich enough to buy four score a donkey's head. Maybe in the next part, the fourth part of a calf of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Maybe you can afford that. How many has ever, some birds that roost up high like turkeys and pigeons? They roost up high and their droppings come down. Can you imagine scraping that up and selling that for profit? That's how serious it was to live in this particular day. No hope. You got an army out there that's got you surrounded. And they besieged it. They're just waiting for people to get so weak or die. They're going to scale those walls and totally annihilate Samaria. Do you feel like you're getting ready to be annihilated? And so you see that the dove's dung and the donkey's head, and it gets worse than that. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." Here's this woman. And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, out of the wine press, I can't help you." But here it tells what these women have done. In verse 28, these two mommies. The Bible says, "The king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, This woman said unto me, Give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow." That's how bad it was. They have no food. They're not rich enough to buy a donkey's head. They don't have money to buy birds' waste. And these two mamas are eating their own children. Help me preach. And you can see that there's a complaint to the king. And this woman said, "Here's what we've done." And then it goes on. So we boiled my son and did eat him. They ate her son. And I said unto her on the next day, "Give thy son that we may eat him." And she hath hid her son. That's her complaint. That this woman has hid her son and she's complaining to the king. All right, that's bad, right? And let me say this right now. I believe already I'm talking to somebody. I believe I'm talking to somebody. Now that this woman that done this, that actually boiled and ate her son. I know the other mama went and hid her son. But she hid her son, but boiled and ate her son. And she only knew she made a bad decision. How many knows that's a bad decision? When you're at a place of hopelessness, a lot of times you make bad decisions. Amen. You make bad decisions when you feel like you don't know what to do. Your back's against the wall. If this woman only could understand that Elisha's getting ready to prophesy, if this mama could only understand God is getting ready to move, you can hold off just a day, just 2 days, and God's going to bless. Food's going to be there. She didn't know that, but she made a bad decision because she had no hope. I'm telling somebody here today, watch your decisions when your back's against the wall and your heart broke and the devil's attacking you and you feel like you're surrounded by enemy. Don't make bad decisions that will ruin the rest of your life. Yes, let me preach. And so that's what happened. And she went and hid her son, verse 30, and I'll preach after this. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. In other words, now everyone look at it a minute. This is important to get this. The king was in his royalty. He was in his royal robes. He was walking where people could see him. And when this complaint came to him, and he heard about these two women, and that one woman boiling her son and eating him, it gripped him so much that he ripped what people could see, his royal garments. And when he ripped that, underneath was sackcloth. That's what you would wear in time of mourning in the Old Testament. Underneath there was sackcloth. With that being said, I come as a preacher. As an evangelist, and I come to these services, and a lot of times I'll see people smile, I'll see people stand, wave their hands in worship, I'll shake hands with people, this sorts of things. You put on your best, but so many times, as a preacher, we've got to have discernment and see past the smile. And see past the praise. And see past the handshake. I don't know what's going on behind that smile on that face. I don't know what's going on in your life. That's why I feel like somebody. If you feel like you're at a place of no hope, don't throw in the towel. Don't make bad decisions. Praise God. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I believe I'm preaching to somebody here that needs to know that Jesus Christ can give you hope when everything looks hopeless. I'm glad that Jesus Christ can give you hope. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. So that's how that ends. Help me, Lord. I'll be done real quick. And then you go right to the next chapter. Chapter 7. Notice this. That's how it ends. Chapter 6. That's the bigger picture. Somebody say, that's right. Amen.
Amen.
I see the bigger picture. Now, this prophecy. Oh, praise God. That's why it's so great. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. I want to pause right there. Normally when you see these prophets in the Old Testament, like Nathan, or even like Elijah, most of the time when they prophesied, it was gloom and doom. It was Elijah saying to Ahab, the dogs that licked Naboth's blood is going to lick your blood. Let me preach. And he said, these prophets, like Nathan the prophet, he said that David devoured the man, and the sword will never part from your family. Amen. But I'm so glad, church, that Elisha, this prophecy wasn't gloom and doom, but this prophecy was a prophecy of hope. Amen. And church, I know I can step in here tonight and prophesy or preach gloom and doom, hell, fire, brimstone, but it feels so good to step in this pulpit and tell you that Jesus Christ is the answer, and tell you that in this service you can find victory in hell in Jesus Christ, that the blood of Jesus can cleanse you from all sin. I'm glad Elisha, instead of prophesying gloom and doom, he prophesied and preached hope to a hopeless people. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. I'm just going to jump to the four letters, okay? Now I want to ask you something. How many of you ever tried to figure out God? I'll be honest with you. This man that got stomped to death, when people running out getting the food, in one way, all he's trying to do, there's more to it, but he's trying to figure out what God's going to do it. How shall this be? And really, in one way, I think he's got a pretty good idea. God can make windows in heaven that he's done before.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He's rained manna. He's brought quail in before. Praise the Lord. Trying to figure out God. And brother and sister, if you're here tonight, why don't you just stop trying to figure out how God is going to fix this, help that, do this. Just say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. I just have my faith. I believe you're going to do it. Hallelujah. Stop trying to figure out God. And start believing that God is going to move for you in this service. Oh, Lord. How many's ever had a pity party besides me? I call it the pooch mouth. How many's ever got the pooch mouth? How many's ever had their feelings hurt? You ain't gonna believe this. I'm trying to get done. I'm past my 15 minutes. I don't even look. But somebody told me when I was a young preacher, that the pastor asked me to stand up and testify, and I did. I kind of preachify instead of testify. I'm sorry for that. No, I'm not. But somebody came up to me after that service, and they said, testimony service is not a time for you to preach. I can get the pooch mouth. Yeah, I get my feelings hurt. I know nobody here has ever got your feelings hurt. But man, that bothered me so bad. It was months. After calling me to testify, I can show you I can testify in 10 seconds and sit down. Come on now. I can get my feelings hurt. Oh, God. I'm over now. I'm kind of thicker skin than what I was. All right. You know, I'm going somewhere. Now, you can get there, you have a pity party, and I got to hurry. I got a whole deal on that. But these four lepers, if anybody in that Bible had a reason to feel sorry for themselves, it was these four lepers. You think about it. Nobody wanted to be a leper, to be an outcast. Anytime you see somebody unclean, I wouldn't want to be a leper. You're unclean. Your flesh is rottening away. Fingers, nose, ears, toes. Eventually you're going to die. That flesh is stinking. You're covering it with some sort of wrap the best you can. You're living in some leper colony out in a desert area somewhere. And some family member, if they have any love for you at all, they're bringing something for you to eat by some rock. Maybe talking to you from a distance. And that's the best it can be. Help me preach. And now it's even worse than that. How many's ever felt like you're just in between? That's where these lepers were. They're in between the city of Samaria, and they know they're dying there. And they're in between the Syrian army, and they think if I go toward that army, they're going to kill me. But they said this is where I'm going to close. They said to themselves, why sit we here until we die? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Why sit we here until we die? I can sit here and I get my feelings hurt. I can sit here and say, I'm not going to preach again. I can sit here and say, I'm not going to sing. I can sit here and say, they hurt my feelings. And maybe they did. And maybe they did. But brother, I don't want to sit here and die. I've got to get victory. I've got to get something from the Lord. And today, in closing, if you're here, don't sit here and die. Amen. In the waters trouble, move to where God's moving and get in and get blessed. Let God walk you into the divine surprise. Amen. Let's all sing. Maybe help me finish. Hallelujah. Hey, everyone look at me. I'm closing. I just quit.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah,
did. They walked. They didn't know what they was walking into. They thought, closer they got to that enemy's camp, they thought some arrow was going to pierce them through the chest. They thought somebody was going to hack off their head. Help me preach. But I'm glad when they got there, there's a sound from heaven. Glory to God. God calls the sound from heaven. And to them, it sounded like an army marching. It sounded like chariot wheels. It sounded like horses. But God was doing something for the city of Samaria. And when they got there, there was no enemy. And they was able to collect the blessings from God. And I pray right now that you, these next few minutes, that you'll say, God, I'm here tonight. I need a blessing. I'm going to walk into a divine surprise. I'm going to get to that altar and say, God, I'm going to backslide. If I'm backslid, I'm going to get saved. If you're here and you're hopeless, you're in a hopeless situation this week. You've been thinking about killing yourself this week. You've been thinking about running off and saying, what's the use? But tonight, God is wanting you to walk into a divine surprise. Let's raise our hands. Father, finish this. Finish this, Lord. Come here, Daniel. Come here, Daniel.